Dungeons & Drimbus is rated R for rude language, rough violence, and raunchy humor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
I do declare, here's what happened previously on Dungeons and Drimbus. With the vampire thralls freed, Gary, Jorgen, Silvio, and whatever vampires they could gather rushed the upper level of the monastery to attempt to free the monks. Casting a spell, the court wizard holds off the vampires, and Gary comes face to face with Reclaimer Captain Logan. After a grueling battle between Logan, Gary, and Jorgen, Zephrine Thistle, the Ice Devil, makes Gary a deal. Join the LLC and keep his family safe. Gary shatters the stained glass beneath the court wizard, freeing the vampires to rush Zephrine. But the alarms have been sounded at Longreach, and Gary heads back to discover the tale of a Bone Devil disappearing over the giant's hand with Calvin in tow. I do declare, Your Honor is back in session.
Your ears ring as you stare at the giant's hand where the tail has disappeared. Your senses go numb and your stomach drops. Your boy, whatever his name was, has been taken. You do not feel the biting cold of Longreach. You do not smell the brimstone in the air. You can hardly even see as you hear the faint screams of your wife, Meredith, come into focus.
Gary! They took Calvin!
What do you do?
Gary's just gonna take both of his hands, take the arms of Grizabeth off of his shoulders, and start running up to the top of Longreach.
Okay, roll an investigation check as you yank Grizabeth's arms off. Like, she kind of stumbles into the snow, looking confused and hurt, but also like totally understanding. She doesn't have a second to process, and she gets up and she starts running. She goes, "You two, come with me, come. And she starts gathering people as she runs.
That is a 12.
Over the course of the next 2 hours or so, you furiously chase down the devils that took your son. Under Grizabeth and eventually Silvio's command, some of the other residents of Longreach fan out in search as well, looking for any sort of clues as to where they may have gone. Unfortunately, getting to the hand is an ordeal in and of itself. The small party that does make it up with you at the lead finds nothing. And the party that goes around the hand towards the back of Longreach does find some tracks, but they are quickly lost in the blizzard. After all this searching, you are barreling through the snow, trying to pick up a trail, finding nothing, and you suddenly hear a furious roar as Grizabeth kicks at the snow. She takes the crossbow off her shoulders and begins to just beat it into the ground. The snow is chest high on her little goblin body as she continues to pummel the crossbow, and you see the guard come off, the string snap. Eventually, the wooden body of the weapon just splinters apart, and she hurls the grip into the storm, narrowly missing a citizen's head.
Whoa!
And she collapses into the snow.
Gary turns around to see this. He doesn't understand not only why is she crying, but who exactly is crying right now.
Oof. Okay, yeah, you're just kind of staring. Yimik, Yorick, and Yasuka are all there, and they are kind of confused, like looking at you, like waiting for you to do something, and then they run and they pick up Grizabeth and kind of help her up and calm her down. She like almost hits one of them, and they like hold her and they hug her, and she just starts sobbing into their shoulders, just...
Ray, what are we gonna do? We gotta fight them.
Follow the. Where do the tracks go?
You're looking around, and even the tracks that you found before you like lost the rest of the trail, even those have been just covered up because of the blizzard. And Silvio appears, and he says,
"I'm sorry, Ray. I'm not seeing them anywhere. I have more people looking further out, but I'm not finding anything."
I think we need to... And Gary collapses into the snow.
Yeah, yeah. You just pass the fuck out. A couple of hours later, let's call it probably a short rest later, you wake up. And you open your crusty ass, like hard eyes to candlelight. And you see some of the skylight coming in through the shattered glass of the monastery. And you look around, you're on a cot. And next to you, you see a bandaged Yargan also hooked up to an IV. And he looks at it, he says,
what? Finally awake, are ya?
And you see there are a couple of the monks that you rescued earlier kind of milling about, tending to different wounded people. A lot of the vampires are wounded from the battle with you, but they are all in different beds being tended to. There's a lot going on, like, without even needing to roll any sort of check. Like, you can tell they are probably not equipped to handle all of the stuff that they are trying to handle right now.
Are you all right, lad?
Yeah. No, wait. Where's my son?
He was taken.
By who?
Well, according to your wife, it looks like it must have been Zephyrin and someone else. I don't know.
Where are they?
We don't know, lad.
Do you know who those... Do you know who those people are?
I don't know much about them, no, I'm sorry.
Okay. Who do we know who can find those people?
Silvio has a number of people looking out for them right now. I believe some of the townspeople are doing a search as well. But, lad, tracking people through a blizzard like this, it's not easy.
And you see, you're in a cot and he's in a cot, and he reaches like a hand over the space and puts like a hand on your arm, and he says,
"I can't say I relate exactly, but I kind of know what it's like to lose a child you're responsible for. I know it's heartbreaking, and I know you're going to want to get out there as fast as possible. But..."
And he kind of like looks you up and down. He says,
"You can't help him in this state. If you push yourself too hard, you're just going to let their lead grow on you. We have people looking, but you can't be getting sicker."
Gary's going to look at his own hands.
Yeah, you see the clawed hands. In the last couple of days, it's almost like the illness has been spreading faster and faster. And so, like, now the whole gray tint over your body has turned a shade darker. Before it was like a grayish green. Now it's like you can barely make out the green. It's like you've gone almost entirely gray. And that plasticky material has climbed up. It had already spread to your shoulder. But on the other arm, it's now up to like just past your elbow. And you, now that you're kind of talking to Yargan and you're focusing and you're not like in the immediate high stress situation, and you're remembering, you know, Calvin and Grizabeth, kind of, you realize how bad your mind has gotten over the last few days.
Oh, your son. What about him? Where is he?
He's here. He's tending to other patients right now, but I've explained everything to him and he wants to help you. I think you should try to get yourself healed first, so you have the best chance of finding Calvin. Or, sorry, Jeremiah.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to talk to him. I think he can fix me.
Yeah. And funny enough, at that moment, you see Grizabeth and Meryl both walk in and she goes, "Oh my God, they're right here, awake." And she comes over and she hugs you tightly.
Oh, Meredith.
Every time you do it, even though she's kind of starting to understand what's happening, you just feel her tense up in your arms.
How are you feeling, Ray?
Better. I think Jorgen's son can fix me.
Howdy.
Here, you.
Yeah.
And he just points a clawed hand, just points.
You, can you fix me?
Yeah, well, first of all, hi, thank you for saving my life. I really appreciate that. Second of all, my dad told me all about your situation. Also, Yemik, yeah, I've got some of my best people working on something for him. It's a tall order, though. Now, your situation, it's a little more interesting. I've just got to pull this other guy out of you, right?
Yeah, I have two souls inside me, I'm pretty sure.
Right, right, yeah. Now, I can do my best, but, this isn't a normal procedure, okay? I'll do everything in my power to help you, but you do know we're kind of just rolling the dice on this one, right?
I've been rolling my dice the whole campaign, so...
Don't worry, lad. I trust Metal with my life completely. You're in solid hands.
Dad, stop it.
I mean, yeah, I don't think I have much of a choice, so... You do, but you have to.
Okay. Well, you've helped me, you've helped my dad, you've helped everyone here in Longreach. I'll be damned if Longreach is gonna let you down now. You got the crystal?
Yeah, I've got plenty of soul gems. I don't know if you need multiple tries, but...
I think this is kind of a one-try situation, but having the backups couldn't hurt, if you don't mind.
And he holds out one of his troll arms.
I'll give him two soul gems, yeah.
Well, why don't you say whatever you might want to say, just in case? And then we'll get you fixed up, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Angelina.
Yeah, yeah, Ray.
It's gonna be fine, okay?
It better be.
And she slaps your chest, kind of.
Does it make like a knocking wood noise?
Yeah, it just kind of, it sounds like.
Okay. Everything's gonna be fine. You and Jeremiah are gonna be taken good care of no matter what happens. I know. I feel it.
Our boy needs you, okay?
And, I love you so much.
I love you too, sweetheart.
I couldn't ask for a better partner in my life to go through an adventure like this. And, I'm so thankful that you stuck by me, and no matter what mistakes I've made or how I look, you, your love has never stopped. And the same goes for me, for you.
I know, Ray.
And she gives you a kiss, and then, like, as she pulls away, you see she's doing that thing where, like, she's smiling at you, but, like, her eyes are crying.
It's gonna be fine. You're gonna be in and out in a couple of minutes, okay?
Yeah.
And then we're gonna go, we're gonna fight Jeremiah, and we can come back to Longreach, we're gonna open a little school. It's gonna be perfect, okay, Ray?
Yeah.
You've done so much for so many other people. We're almost there, Ray. I'm so proud of you.
I guess there's somebody else that I should,
And he's gonna pull out the rubber paper.
Okay.
He's going to write, "To whom it may concern, my condition has reached a critical point. I am doing my best now to mitigate the damage. I'm going to go through a procedure I may or may not come back from. I just wanted to let you know, just in case. If I consider you a friend, then I just wanted to say thank you.
Okay.
It's very cryptic, very vague.
Yeah.
It's just because I don't know who has the thing. I think Monique has it, but...
You write this on the email, and after a short while, you see this message pop up that says, "Is this absolutely necessary? We may have a solution."
I write back, "My memory fades as I speak. I'm afraid it is. I don't have much time left. Whoever this is, is Tony okay?"
Okay. You write that. A minute or two passes, and you see that get erased as someone writes, "Where are you? I'm afraid we haven't seen Tony for some time. ... Come to Opula." And then you begin to see like a poop emoji getting drawn, and then it gets erased.
"If I make it through this, I'll meet you at Opula."
You actually see, it kind of looks like a yearbook as like different handwritings appear, like a bunch of people are writing, and you see in one handwriting, you see, "Do it for your family." Then you see, "You will make it through this. We'll see you there." And then you see, "You'll make it through. We'll see you soon."
So there's multiple people tapping back. What did you say his name was, Jorgen?
I believe they said their name was Zephrine.
That was the Ice Devil.
Aye.
No, I remember a tale. Is that too much information to share? Monique gave me this list.
What? What do you mean? What are you talking about, Ray?
Monique told me to watch out for a Saxon Brunt, a Reginald Figglesbottom, Millie.
You say Millie and you hear a lightning strike outside.
Is it raining?
No, it's snowing.
Is that a spell being used?
I don't know. That was weird. Anyways, continue.
Okay. I'm just saying because I said Millie and...
You say Millie and you see one of the paintings on the monastery falls off the wall.
What the hell is going on?
And at this point, you glance down at the email and you see a really good portrait of Thomas, but it's drawn like the Uncle Sam posters with like Thomas pointing at you.
She says, "Okay, maybe we stop saying that name. I don't know what's going on, but..."
That's so interesting. When we say Millie, something weird happens. Ah!
Grizabeth kind of like doubles over in pain. She says, "Oh, stomach ache."
Jorgen, do you know him? Do you know someone with that name?
I'm afraid I don't. No.
Anyway, then there's a Zephrine Thistle and a Wraith.
Sounds like it's the same people then.
Oh, I guess I should tell them.
Eh, fuck it. Gary will draw a mustache, a unibrow, and glasses on Thomas. And then off on the side, he's going to write, "I met Zephrine, the LLC, just took my son. I don't know where to find him."
You see, we're tracking down members of the LLC. Where did you meet Zephrine? We'll help you find him.
Fuck. He throws it down. It's time for the operation.
All right. Nice.
She says, "Okay. I'll see you soon, Ray."
I'll see you soon.
As this has been going on and you've been messaging, you see Meryl has been making the necessary accommodations. He has set up the crystal in like a little, it almost looks like a candelabra type contraption to like hold it for him. He has had a couple of people brewing a tea. You notice off in the corner, again, there are a lot of patients here being tended to with a lot of different methods for different wounds and whatnot. You see like they're building something on one of the cots. Like they're laying down like timber and then wrapping it in like sheets of metal. It looks really interesting. Like they're building like a body almost. But then finally Meryl comes to you and he says, "Ready?" And he comes over with a cup of tea.
"Ready."
"Drink this, take a deep breath, and we'll see you soon."
Gary takes the tea.
Okay. You slowly drink the tea. and lean back onto the cot. You feel warmth spread through your entire body. Your extremities tingle, growing in intensity before the sense numbs and dissipates entirely, with the tingles working their way up your limbs. Your head feels floaty and your vision is hazy as the tingle begins to work its way across your scalp as well. Your wife and friends watch anxiously as your breathing and heart rate slow. How does Gary die?
Well, it's his breathing slows, like you say, and then you hear one last long exhale.
And here we are. Welcome home, Scruffles. And Scruffies and Scrufflets. I can't pretend it's not weird not having Nikki here. I knew he'd move out eventually, but I thought it would be under different circumstances. This half house just isn't a half home without him. His room is still intact. Half of it, at least. I needed a home gym for the other half. You want to stay there, Scruffles? Okay. Here it is. Just as he left it, half empty. There's his half sword on the wall. His wigs. The mullet was his favorite, half business, half party. The special Drimbus collection clock on the wall. Well, half on the wall. He kind of put it right on that little ledge on the overhang, so half of it's just hanging off. His Drimbus collection socks with all the different Drimbi on it. He never liked his socks to match, so he would buy half from drimbus.com/merch and the other half from somewhere else. Don't ask me where. His computer. Half the time I couldn't tear him away from it, the other half he wanted to throw it against the wall. Oh, even the battery's only at 50%. You know, Scruffles, I thought coming back into his room without him here would tear me apart, but it's not half bad. He's still with us. I have to believe he'll pull through. And being here, it kind of half gives me hope, you know? That he'll have something to come back to, that he wants to come back to us. That he has to come back to us. He still has work to do, you know? Look at all these half-finished projects all over the place. Looks like he was halfway through recording something here on the computer. Oh, he got an email. The Not-So-Daily Drimbus? Okay. Oh my god, what a fun newsletter. This is for those games he loved to play. Yeah. I remember he used to get shipments of dice, I think every like week and a half or so. The Shy Halud from Dune? That's fun. Adventure prompts. The Chupacabra and the Cactus Cat from that episode he really liked. That the St. Patrick's episode. Made in the Drimbus system. Yeah, he told me about that. It's in development and it's available to the patrons of patreon.com/drimbus. Oh my god, a robe of Easter items! He always loved to play holiday one-shots with us. How much money was he spending on this? No, what? It's free? You get unique items, monsters, stat blocks, adventure prompts, updates on your favorite podcast, even quick and easy links to patron bonus content, all for free at drimbus.com/newsletter? Well, I mean, I guess there's no reason not to sign up. And it only comes by once a week, so it's not like they're going to annoy me with daily emails. Maybe I can use this to get in touch with those friends of his, right? Maybe they know what happened to him. Let me see, I gotta look through his contacts. Maybe I can send him a group message or find that Discord he talked about, right? The one that's supposed to have Queso Loco, Jerry Benetatos, Victoria Madrid, Gretchen Beignet, Alex Scapes My Ass, Ace Andrews, Regina Russell, Sam Olivos, Jordan Cobb, The Unnamed Rogue, NB Star, Doubtful Guest, Michael Richters, Davis Walden, Denny Dewdrop, Mythmouse, Callie Wolf, Brandon M. Bishop, Bridge, Twiglets, Joanna, Stan Sitzman, Scrambles the Death Dealer, Aaron Adams, Nathan Mesnard, Ruth Anardos, Carrie Holmes, Stoner Panda, Melissa Rain, Head. sensational. Butts a plenty, uvular nutria, normally me, Dane Kohlhoff, Loon, Foss the Heavenly Demonic Monster, Mosh Coffee, Official Anarchy, David Carlton, and, of course, Lord Braxton Von Wendell III. Long may he reign. Yeah. Well, that was easy. Signed up for the newsletter at drimbus.com/newsletter. Just gotta find this patreon.com/drimbus, get in touch with all of the patrons, and hell, maybe I'll go to drimbus.com/merch and get myself a cute Hello, My Name is Bitchard t-shirt. Oh, that seems fun. Yeah, that's the plan. Hey, thanks for cheering me up, Scruffles. If I didn't know any better, I'd think you could almost understand me, huh?
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents.
Or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favourite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
As you die, everything goes black. Please give me a constitution saving throw with advantage.
26.
You see nothing. You hear nothing. You feel nothing. You have no senses anymore. Then, vaguely, you can begin to make out a sound. You think you can hear, for lack of a better word, a sound akin to a rushing river.
Gary!
Fulmar.
Oh, Gary! Did you do it? Is it over?
I don't know. I can't see anything. I can hear you.
What? What happens now?
I don't know. I use in the bathroom. I hear water.
I hear it too. Something feels different.
Please roll another constitution save.
Natural 20.
Very nice. As you speak, you don't see because you don't have eyes, but you suddenly become more perceptive. You feel yourself moving at rapid speeds, and you find yourself in that same rushing river of light and energy that you recall from your dream weeks ago. But as you take in your surroundings, you see something is obviously wrong here. You get the sense the river's supposed to flow in a certain direction. But today, you see that black whirlpool, the one you saw before, has grown. It has become massive. So massive that the river of light now swirls almost exclusively around and into it like a hurricane. Additionally, you see large black masses of corruption littering the other lights swirling around you. They're attracting other energies, engulfing and blackening them like a dark, cancerous growth. Suddenly, you feel an excruciating pain, as if you were being split apart.
What's happening?
I think we're getting separated.
Are they here?
Who? Where is who she? Here?
My baby! Where is my baby? Where is Meredith?
Please roll another constitution save.
26.
The pain continues as you feel your literal soul splinter apart. It is an indescribable experience as you feel parts of your essence being vacuumed out. You feel the insanity of Fulmer leaving your body. Your love and anxiety for Meredith seems to cool. You don't feel much calmer, though, as your own feelings become much more vivid. But now, before you, as millions of lights rush by you in the river, some crashing into the black masses of corruption, some swirling into the black whirlpool, and others narrowly avoiding the dangers, you can see these lights are all fighting for their lives. The river is not passive. It is alive, and it is under attack as these souls change and transform, splintering apart and smashing together, doing all they can to avoid a dark fate. But as you look, you know it is inevitable. There is no safe passage left for them.
Something's not right here.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, Meredith, she's still in pain. So many others screaming. Can you hear it?
No.
You listen, and it is just that sound of light and energy, but there is this high-pitched, it's not a human scream, it's not a scream like yours, but it is dissonance, like something is wrong, like a bad note in a chord played on the piano reverberating throughout this realm. As you speak, you see bits of Fulmar's light breaking off of him and scattering into the river of light to join with the other particulates. In fact, you see bits of your own energy floating off. It's subtle and effortless as gods know what memory or skill or quirk just fled your soul. You can also finally see that Fulmar's light, now separate from yours, is full of that black corruption. Not entirely like those masses you're seeing, but it's there, spreading.
Do you see it? They can't move on. Is this what I did to them?
I don't understand.
Something's wrong, Gary. What's going to happen to me?
I don't know.
They can't move on. This is... Help them, Gary. Help them.
What do I do?
I don't know. Gods, forgive me!
Suddenly, you feel yourself getting rapidly and violently sucked backwards as if falling into a pit, and everything goes black. A moment later, you open your eyes. Your wife and friends standing before you.
I look at my hands.
You look down, you take stock of yourself, and as you glance down, your body seems unchanged. You still have dark clawed hands. However, your mind and even your heart seem lighter. You can remember everything about yourself with so much more clarity. The confusion is gone, and you even feel like you have a firmer control over your body than you did before. Furthermore, while your vocal cords remain as they are, it's almost as if some ichor has been cleaned off them, and you find speaking just the tiniest bit easier. as Grizabeth just launches into a tight hug, and Meryl cheers, holding a shattered, dull crystal in his hands.
It worked! Good on you, lad! Oh, Ray, you're safe! I was so worried about you! How do you feel?
I mean, I look the same. I don't know. I don't understand.
Yeah, so, unlike, for example, with Yimik, where he needs a whole new body, your body was still good, hopefully. Whatever sickness was in you is gone now. Do you feel any voices in your head? Do you still feel fuzzy or anything?
Well, when I was asleep, kind of, but now, I guess is that the other soul? Is he in there, in that gym?
No, this had your soul.
And he holds up, you see the gem is shattered and like it used to be vibrant pink. Now it's like gray and pink. And he says,
we let the other one go. It was time for him to rest. But we managed to pull yours back out. The reason your body hasn't changed is because, well, that's just your body now. But I don't think whatever it was doing to you, whatever having those two souls was doing, you shouldn't get any worse. If anything, you might find it more comfortable now.
So that's it then. He's gone.
When you work in the line that we work in, you see some pretty terrible things, and everyone has a time to go, you know?
I wish I knew what was happening, I guess. I don't know. I never got to say goodbye or anything.
Well, I know what you believe in. In terms of the grand scheme of life, but who knows? Maybe you'll run into him again somehow.
Somehow. So, my body won't get worse, but this is my new body.
I'm afraid so. Is it uncomfortable in any way?
No, actually, I think a little cooler, you know.
I mean, I think so. Look at you.
She runs like a hand down your chest. It almost looks like one of those like tattoos that like spills out onto like a peck. She says, I don't know. You're a little more toned. I'm kind of into it.
Speaking of, you were saying Yimik, Maybe we can do the soul gem with him, help him out.
That's kind of what we're working towards. He says, are you familiar with Warforged at all?
Yeah, I used to work with one.
Okay, great. Well, like I said, it's a little risky, but that spell that Silvio cast on him, his body is doomed, basically. So he's going to need a new vessel entirely. So thankfully, you brought an extra crystal. We're trying to see if we can kind of... Nobody really knows where Warforged come from, but we're seeing if we can kind of hack one together, if that makes any sense.
And he points over to that thing that you saw them building right before you died, kind of like the wooden structures being wrapped in metal.
If a crystal can contain a soul indefinitely, then perhaps we can kind of use it to animate a different body of Yimik's choosing, you know? I don't know. It's a long shot. I really got to talk to Yorick and Yasika, I think their names were. And Yimik, too. I really got to lay out the risks here. But if all goes well, it might, it could be a really cool thing. We've just never tried it before.
Yeah, no, definitely. As long as you have all the materials that you need, you know, I can help you out. Whatever you need.
Yeah, it's top priority.
And at this point, Jorgen kind of sits up a little bit and he goes,
smile I see on your face, lad.
Oh.
Gary frowns.
No, you don't.
I think it suits you, lad. I'm sorry we couldn't do more to help you, or help you sooner, I guess, but...
He lifts up the eye patch, and you see he is actually missing an eye now.
Hmm.
Well, it's not missing, but it's like scratched through and like grayed out, you know?
Yeah.
And he says,
Life has a funny way of dealing your bad hands. And sometimes he puts the eye patch back down. Maybe this is just the form you were meant to take.
What happened, there?
Oh, it's too long a story, but...
And you see he, like, holds his side, and Meryl comes over and goes,
Dad, sit your ass down.
Because he was starting to get up off the cot. He says,
I told you, you're going to be in bed rest for at least a week.
And he starts undoing the bandages around him to, like, replace them with new ones.
He says, I'm so sorry. My dad just can't accept that he's 356 years old and not ready to go adventuring at a moment's notice. Good Lord.
Anyway, lad, what did your friend say? Any leads on your boy?
Kind of. But need to make sure that whatever we do here, we finish. And then I'm gonna have to go on another trip.
It's your decision, lad, but I understand that family comes first. And you've done so much for all of us here already. This is the freest we've been in decades. If you need to go, all of us here at Longreach will hold down the fort. Know that there will always be a place for you and your family here.
Thank you, Jorgen, for everything.
Of course. Do you need me to come with?
And Meryl, like, slaps his forehead. He says,
Dan, what did I just say?
The boy is lost.
The boy.
Listen, Ray. I appreciate everything you've done, but I'm sorry. My father is just not an option. Whoever you need, whatever you need, we will do. We will set you up with everything we got. We definitely owe it to you. But also, I'm not going to send my dad on a suicide mission.
I wouldn't dream of asking your dad to come with me.
I'm not that old, lad. You have exceeded the dwarven life expectancy.
Whatever.
And he, like, crosses his arms over his chest. He says,
right, okay, so what do you need? What's next for you?
You're gonna stay here because these people need a king. And I don't know a better, more charismatic leader than the...
Meryl rolls his eyes. Ah, yeesh.
Than the aging Cyclops I see before me, so...
Oh, ow. Oh. Well, I don't know about Kang, but definitely we've got a lot of work to do. But listen, lad.
And he, like, pokes your chest from across the cot. He says,
if you want, I want you here for whatever comes next. You're a natural leader. And you've got a lot worth fighting for. And I think Longreach could use more people like you.
I really wish I could, and hopefully I do get to call Longreach my home. But I've got a mission to do.
I understand. Listen, and he kind of looks around the room. He says, Silvio.
And Silvio comes over.
Yes.
Why don't you get a head start on the Globemies here? Put together a wagon for them, give them a couple of horses. Go around the town, see what people are willing to offer up. Give them some rations for the trip. Where is it you're headed, Ray?
I have two stops. I have to go see my ma, and then I gotta go to Opula.
Okay. That's a long journey. Don't let them cheap out, Silvio. Go. Hey.
And he runs out the door. And Grizz goes,
oh my god, Gary, you wanna go visit your ma?
Yeah, I got a note a little while back, but there was no time, you know. And now there is, I don't know, it's not exactly on the way to Opula, but I don't remember if I told you. It was so foggy then, but my pa passed away.
Yeah, you did, Ray, you did. I'm sorry.
I wasn't there for the funeral, you know.
Yeah. Well, we had a lot going on, Ray. And I know you mentioned you had a complicated relationship, so... We can definitely make the stop now, and I don't know, I think it would be nice for baby Jeremiah to meet his grandmother, too.
Yeah, and then I'll see what's going on with Ma, and we'll get Jeremiah back, and then it'll be fine. Yeah, he'll get to see Ma, his grandmother.
Okay, Ray. That sounds like a good idea.
I don't know. Ma always knows what to say, so
Maybe she can help me out too.
Yeah.
Things are way more clear than they have been in a long time, but she always helps me when I'm lost.
Yeah. All right. Sounds like a plan. Do we need anything else? You're looking a lot better already.
And you look down and you see that, like, yeah, your body's still the same, but it's almost like your circulation is better and more of the green is, like, starting to shine through the gray skin.
She says, do you think we need anything else, or should we just ride out once Silvio has the cart ready?
I mean, I feel bad, you know, leaving right after a huge battle, not helping clean up, but we gotta go.
And at this point, Yorick speaks up. He says, "Oh, Ray, don't feel bad. You've done so much for us already. We will be okay. We will rebuild."
Okay, you have everything you need for Yemek.
As best as we can tell, yeah, Yasika and I are going to go out to look tomorrow for some more supplies, but we've been told it's risky. Hopefully all will go well, though.
Okay, take an extra soul gem just in case.
Thank you, Ray.
And yeah, he accepts the soul gem from you.
Yeah.
Okay, shall we?
Yeah, as soon as we're ready, let's get going.
Okay. By the way, you may long rest and you may level up.
Ooh.
But you spend roughly the rest of the day, you rest for the most part as Meryl keeps you under observation just to make sure everything's good. Early the next morning, Silvio has finally managed to put everything together, and you and Grizabeth prepare to head out of Longreach. You bid farewell to Yemek, Yargan, and Meryl at the monastery. You walk over to Longreach proper with Yorick and Yasika as they come to finish helping you load up the wagon. They set you up with two horses and, of course, Megan the Stallion leading the way, and about a week's worth of provisions.
You wave goodbye to Silvio, Silas and Solera having been entrusted to his care for the moment.
As you ride out, the citizens of Longreach wave to you gratefully. Though they don't have much at the present, you carry a wagon full of goods and gifts and well wishes that they were able to scrounge together as a show of gratitude. Your three horses pull valiantly through the deep snow as you ride south. After a few hours, riding in relative silence, Grisbus says,
"Oh, Gary, tell me he's gonna be okay."
"He is, baby. If he, they don't want to hurt him. They just want to, I don't know. They want to get to me. They want to draw me out, but they don't want to hurt him."
"I hope not. Whoever these people are, we gotta bring them to justice somehow.
One way or the other."
"Are you worried about, meeting up with the boys again?"
"Well, yeah. But we're gonna, they already know our names, our real names. But I don't want them to know anything, or as little as possible, about where we live."
"Yeah."
"Not until we have all the facts. We're gonna still keep things under wraps, if you know what I mean."
"Yeah.
But,
if they say they're tracking down the LLC, then surely they must be able to help, right?"
"Yeah, as far as we know, it could all be a trap."
"Oh,
but
gosh.
It's the only lead that we have, and, the Thomas I know is always looking for justice, so maybe it'll be nice."
"Yeah."
"Maybe."
Roll a perception check for me.
6.
"Okay, continue."
"Maybe it'd be nice to work together again."
"Yeah."
"Maybe not. But I don't think they're gonna welcome me with a sword in my back, you know."
"I hope not. They better not."
Grizabeth holds out a crossbow that someone gave her, a better crossbow. She says, "Oh, they'll be dealing with me." And she shakes it around.
Oh, she got a better one?
Yeah. And as she says that, your horse is suddenly whinny in panic as you turn a bend. A little ways down the path, with its back to you, is one of the dark abominations. However, it seems to be engaged in battle. And that's when you hear the neighing. The beast seems to be attacking horses. That is,
until you notice one of the horses rear up as if standing on two legs and begin to float up into the air. It is covered in blue glowing runes across its hide, bright white glowing eyes, and a flowing blue fiery mane. The abomination looks up to the magical horse. No, not horse. Pony! As Tony the motherfucking pony delivers a powerful blast of blue energy, knocking it back. Before the creature can retaliate, you see another horse, glowing with yellow energy, leap into the air, spin, and come crashing down with a charged back kick that sends the abomination careening into a tree. As they prepare for the monster's retort, Tony and Popcorn enter a battle stance before looking up and finally taking notice of you.
This has been Your Honor. Your Honor features the vocal talents of Nicholas Benetatos as Gary Mogbaha. The rest of the world is voiced by your DM, Giancarlo Herrera. Editing was done by Hannah Schooner and Giancarlo Herrera, with sound design by Giancarlo Herrera. If you want to support the show, consider checking out the links in the show notes, or go to patreon.com/dribbles. Our patrons get access to exclusive perks like our After the Show show, After the Drimbus, free exclusive merch, bonus series, and the chance to create items for the show or have NPCs named after you. Oh, and don't forget to tweet using #Drimbus to be entered to win a free Dungeons & Drimbus sticker. Thank you all so much for listening, and I do declare, I'll see you all next week.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
From the team behind the award-winning best fiction horror podcast, Nightlight. A new audio drama that brings the southern folklore of True Blood and the cosmic horror of Lovecraft Country to your ears.
You don't hear that, do you?
Afflicted is a tale of hoodoo, a demonic book bound in human flesh, and natural disasters that are anything but natural.
Which grave did you get the dirt from? Which grave?
Afflicted, a horror thriller audio drama, coming this Halloween thanks to our Indiegogo supporters. Subscribe now to get notified the moment the first episode drops.
It's happening.